Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Randy Goldberg. Well, thank you for joining the Science of Light. I was muted there, I think. So just an example of the what's been going on with all this cardinal cross energy and the eclipse that we're having tonight, the earlier lunar eclipse we had earlier in the month, the 15th, and now this solar eclipse tonight. And, I'm curious how all this, the intensity of all this has been affecting you and what my listeners have been seeing going on in their life. There's definitely a lot to chew over. An eclipse is when the light of the sun gets blocked by the moon, and so our life gets eclipsed. We often will feel that there's endings and beginnings, and particularly this lunar eclipse is solar eclipse is it's happening in Taurus, and there's a lot of people's grounding. You know, it's Earth sign Taurus, and so people are feeling a lot of security issues come up and things that threaten their basic sense of well-being when you pull the rug out from people, and that things that relate to your basic security, that brings up big issues for people. And so a lot of people are getting hit with really a lot of intensity. And the lunar eclipse tends to bring out more unconscious material, and solar eclipse is usually a bit more things that you can see. Often there's scandals, major figures fall, all sorts of outer events in the world that tend to relate more to solar eclipses. And definitely people, there's a lot of anger in the air. There's a lot of pressure cookers and things just going wrong for people. And it's a good time to back off, give people space because they need it. And a lot of safus and things happening. I'm having one right now with my computer. So an eclipse, you know, the sun is such a central symbolism in astrology, and when it gets eclipsed, there's challenges to our being at a really deep level, so there's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff. Traditionally, in ancient cultures, eclipses were feared. They were considered malefic influences, and there were times when different disasters tend to show up, different things. And definitely surfing the waves of these things. You know, with this cardinal cross that we had, we've had Uranus and squaring Pluto, and all these planets are squaring each other, also Mars and Jupiter. Thank God Jupiter is in that mix. The way that Jupiter, the Sanskrit word for Jupiter is guru, Jupiter can take poison, you know, a difficult situation like this where it's people are really being challenged on a fundamental level. Jupiter can take away the poison of that situation. And Jupiter brings in inspiration and Mars is calling, there's this pressure that's built up with a whole cardinal cross, and Mars is a big call to action. And in my own life, for the first time in a long time, I started a long fast. Today's the fourth day of fasting. And, things just built up, and that was the right action to take. It's good timing, and I just put that out there. If someone's feeling inspired, I actually had a friend who called me up and was going on a long fast, and I decided to join them, and it's definitely been a positive experience for me and a good way to take action. So this all these energies that are here right now are definitely calling for action. And the actions that we take now will be felt for a long time, and that's part of the power of this situation we're in now. And particularly with eclipses also, it's often said that for many people, they are felt a week before and a week after, and so we've had that ripple effect with the lunar eclipse having a chance to hit, and so there's going to be these ripples that are rippling out, and the and it's also nice to it's a good time to get an astrology reading to see where these particular planets are hitting in your chart. You know, it's different stress for different people, but for some people, this is a really transformational moment that will start a cycle, and things that are going to lead to changes that will go on for decades. This is a time to step into your power, to definitely the universe is there to respond to your bold actions at this time. So there's a lot of rewards for taking the actions. Part of the pressure cooker of this time, there's been things that people have been scared to do, not sure of, reluctant, and now is a time when you can really take that step and take that leap and be supported in a whole new way. But it's been intense, and there I have some listeners in the queue, so let me see. Particularly curious how things have been for you. And here I'm unmiking you. Hey there, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello, my name is Dee.
Hi, Dee. How are you doing?
Okay.
Have things been intense
really,
for you?
It's getting intense today.
Yeah, well, yeah. This is it's happening tonight, depending on which part of the earth, 11 o'clock and then 2 o'clock, another. But, yeah, this is an intense day. So tell me about it.
Yes.
How does it manifest for you?
Well, there's a few things that happened today. First of all, there's something wrong with one of my dogs. I think she might have had a stroke. Secondly, we decided today, me and my husband and my daughter, we want to move. We don't like the area we're living in. It's been a long time. And it's one thing after the other. The pressure's just building up.
Yeah, yeah. There's all this pressure, for sure.
And,
yes. You know, so one of the things that when this pressure builds up, something like, okay, you finally decide to move, and maybe this move is going to be the best thing, and you're going to look back, and that's part of these energies, this pressure cooker, things build up for that kind of decision, and that's why this is such a pivotal kind of time, where that's, you know, with crisis comes opportunity. And so that's could definitely be something that, you know, has been needed to happen for a while, and now is when the pressure builds up enough to take that step.
It does need it has been building for quite a while.
Mhm. Yeah. And did you have any other comments or questions?
Well, I want to know if this is going to affect me stronger because I'm a Taurus moon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So this is happening in Taurus, and so you're going to be doing it stronger than most people, depending on, you know, people that have planets in Taurus, without a doubt. And like you're reporting, it is hitting you. So, that's not surprising.
Yes, I didn't feel it too much with the solar eclipse, but this one I feel it.
Yeah, yeah, it's hitting strongly. Yeah. Without a doubt. Definitely.
Yes.
Great. Okay. There's some other callers, so let me, I can come back to you. Let me just check in
with
other people. And hi there, I'm unmiking you.
Hi, my name is Tom.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Okay, like the caller before me, how would that affect me? I'm a Taurus rising.
Well, rising sign is a little bit less personal than she was saying a moon, and rising sign is how other people see you, your persona, what you're projecting to the world. But still, you have your rising sign is the beginning of your first cusp and the beginning of that whole cycle, and and then, all this is individual, so if you had other planets there, or depending on how much the first house is emphasized, but this is affecting everybody, and so there'll definitely be, a little bit more than for some people, since you have your rising sign there.
Yeah.
And Taurus is a steady and slow-moving planet, so there's especially with the new moon coming up, there's going to be a little bit of slowing down, which is going to be good. There's been a lot of anger, a lot of people sick and accidents, and things have been intense on a lot of levels, a lot of snafus. My computer is actually fritzing right now as we speak. There's a lot out there that it's good to give people space and realize there's road rage and all kinds of people can go off on you and stuff. So,
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
No, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
thank
bye.
You. Take care. Okay. And let's see here. Hi there, you're on mic. How have you been experiencing the energies? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah, hi there. How are you?
Hi. Oh, good. I didn't raise my hand. I was just listening in. But I will talk to you about it's really intense. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to see it. I'm up in Alaska. But it should still be.
Yeah, from right. Supposedly Antarctica, they can see it. So I don't know. And the solar eclipse, the lunar eclipse, anybody can look at. The solar eclipse, you do want to have the filter. You can damage your eyes if you are up far enough north. Have you, probably if you can, if you Googled or something, to, from what I saw, Australia and Antarctica, so Alaska is not quite Antarctica, so. Probably
I'll be looking for it about 10 o'clock. Would you say that was about right up here? For I think we're about 10.
Yeah, it's, I believe it's starting like 11 o'clock Eastern time and then 2 o'clock Pacific time. Again, that's something that you can Google. And, don't look for it if you don't have, you also want to Google to see what's the proper eyewear. This is a solar eclipse, and if you are in a place where you can see it, you definitely have to protect your eyes.
Right, right. Yeah, we remember that. The lunar eclipse was amazing, and a lot of crazy things happened around then, too. This past weekend, there was a lot of accidents. It's just been really a strange energy. I've been kind of trying to avoid going anywhere.
Yeah, there's been all kinds of accidents, all kinds of shootings, and yeah, it's definitely been intense like that.
There was some crazy weather today. Yes, down south there was a bunch of tornadoes and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that just happened, right?
Oh, I'm just
lucky. Particularly with the lunar eclipse, there's a lot going on in people's lives, so people are feeling that in their personal sphere.
I'm in Gemini with the cusp on Taurus. I'm a Gemini with a cusp on Taurus.
Oh yeah.
I am a Gemini with a cusp on Taurus.
Taurus
does affect me a little bit.
Yeah, so you're probably feeling it more strongly. And
I am feeling it pretty strongly.
Right, and it's also coming with this cardinal cross that we've been having. And so this is the intensest month of this intense year that we're having, so the transition year. I'm not expecting any big collapses or major. This is kind of transitioning to 2015. But, a lot of people have been saying there's potential for invasions and different things. We were thinking, as we looked at this months ago, and we see this what's going on in Ukraine and different things. It's intense all over the world.
It is. I've been trying to do, positive energy and sending love and light around the world, because I just feel like, well, if we just try to intensify the good, then, it'll maybe be something intense for something good rather than all the giving in to all the negativity. Because you definitely feel the negativity just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's, and luckily there is Jupiter involved in the Cardinal Cross, and so that's lightening some of that. And Mars has definitely that pure energy, and Pluto and Uranus are both transformational planets, and they want things to change. And Pluto in this very deep, slow churning way, and Uranus brings sudden lightning bolts of inspiration or Babel Tower falling. So, it sounds like you're very tuned into it. Exactly. The eclipse first begins at close to midnight, just before 11:53 here in D.C., and so that's going to be 3 hours back your time, and it's going to be full at around 2 o'clock here. So, again, 3 hours earlier your time. And and it's over by 4 o'clock here in D.C., so 1 o'clock. Yes, if you were able to see it, now would be the time, I guess, out there. Are you even past Pacific time? I forget if Alaska is 1 hour. It's the same as the all
Yeah, we're mountain. Yeah, we're mountain time.
Oh, so you're not even Pacific time?
No.
Ah, that's interesting. You would think with Alaska being further to the west that it would be further that way. But, well, the Earth does curve, so I guess that's part of why it's over to being in mountain time. Great. Well, you sound very tuned in, and exactly, you're really reflecting what is going on. Did you have any other comments or questions?
Well, I'm just glad that Venus is involved in this, because I think that we really need to focus on that good, love, positive aspect to help balance, because I feel like this is kind of something about balance here, and that Uranus is just like a, it's just unexpected things, like things you would have never thought would happen. It could be ingenious, or it could just be, catastrophic, but it's always something kind of unexpected.
Yep, and particularly an eclipse is something, and solar eclipses especially, something is revealed, and that's why often there's a lot of scandals and people in power fall, and you know, things that have been going on a long time all of a sudden are in the spotlight, and yeah.
Well, I just think that that can be a really good, positive thing sometimes, especially, you know, with our system the way things are now. I think that things should be brought to light and should kind of fall away because things are so corrupt and some, you know, love needs to take over, come around, and people rise as one, and, you know, people can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it's all about. There's a lot that's no longer working for humanity that needs to die away and fall off, and, you know, we're kind of in the birth pangs of new beginnings of figuring out something that works for everyone and for the planet. And so all this is very positive, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
So how long do you think this might have an effect?
Which aspect?
Well, this eclipse thing, how long do you think this eclipse might have this?
Eclipses, I said earlier, are often felt a week before and a week after, so there's a certain intensity that's going to continue throughout the week, and some people it will kind of hit a week out. So I would say after a week, then it will start to begin to wane some of the intensity. And
maybe it'll trigger something, you know, with this going forward into spring. Maybe it'll trigger something good coming in. I'm hoping so.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's triggering major life changes that were the parts of people's lives that haven't been working can now be discarded, and projects that they wanted to take up, they now have the courage to do it. I mean, now it's really a time of action and being bold and going for your dreams, and that the actions we take now are going to have a big impact and, you know, be kind of the unfolding of the chapter for the next 10 years of your life. They're going to be major life themes that unfold at major points like this. So, absolutely,
awesome.
Yeah. It's good.
It's powerful. It's to be respected, for sure.
And that's why it's a powerful time to meditate, to tune in to what your soul wants and needs, and what this means in your life and in your situation, and to be paying attention to that and having some sensitivity for that.
Well, I don't know if there's anybody who's, you know, practices magic or anything, but this is one time that I would not, you know, usually it's not a good idea to do any magic on an eclipse because it has such a, you just never know what's going to happen aspect to it. So.
Yeah. And this is called an annular, this is a rare eclipse because it's not right on the ring, and so it's definitely special, and particularly in combination with the Cardinal Cross. This is, you know, in this year, that we're going to get another hit in October, September, October of intensity, but this, you know, ride this wave, and it can blast off, so it's good.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, well, I'll let you talk to another caller, but I'm still going to hang on if you don't mind. I'm going to listen on my phone. I hear better.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Good talking with you. And you're very in tune to what's going on. That's great. Keep listening to your intuition.
Oh, I just couldn't wait to hear what you had to say about it. I was so curious myself.
Yeah. Okay, good. Take care. And let's see, there's someone else here. Hi there. You're on mic. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good.
How's it going? I'm good. How have you been feeling these energies? Has it been intense? What's been going on?
You know, today I woke up, I didn't have a good sleep. I didn't have a good sleep last night. I noticed that a lot of activity has been taking place in my dream state. A lot of activity has been taking place in dream state. My dreams have been more vivid, more random. It's just a bunch of episodes and experiences in the dreams, and they're very vivid, very colorful, and then I wake up very uncomfortable, as if I didn't have a good sleep. So I've been experiencing all these shifts, and even with this solar eclipse, last night was one of those nights. You know, I woke up this morning and I just felt really uneasy and felt beat up, like I didn't have a good night's rest. And so I know something's going on with me. I think I've been kind of taking on all this during dream state. In waking hours, I feel centered, I feel balanced, you know, everything seems to be going smoothly, or, you know, and there's hiccups here and there, but a lot for me has been happening during dream state.
And I've noticed a lot of my friends on Facebook posting a lot of things about insomnia and asking for advice, how to deal with their insomnia. There's just so much pressure that that's not uncommon. Something that a lot of people have been feeling, and intense dreams, absolutely. A lot of people having all kinds of shamanic dreams, and now is a powerful time to listen to your dreams, and they've definitely been intense for a lot of people. And so, you know, with the Cardinal Cross, Pluto and Uranus bring up really deep things. Pluto is the slowest moving planet, and Pluto is often connected to the part of us that's been wounded, and as we heal ourselves, stuff arises from very young and our past lives or whatever. It's just stuff going way back that now can finally come to the surface and be looked at, be experienced, be healed, be let go of, and processed through and embraced, whatever, however it's going on for you. So there's a lot of bubbling coming out.
I kind of figure it would affect me in that way. I have my north node in the sign of Taurus in the 12th house. So, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, because that house to me, and I'm a novice, you know, I don't know much, but that house always seems mysterical, you know. It's not something to me. I can't really identify with it, other than the subconscious and maybe perhaps dreaming and meditation. So I knew it would probably affect me in that way. You know what I mean? And so
It is a great time to meditate. The 12th house, you know, if you think of the wheel, there's a certain archetypal order. There's a reason. There's a certain evolution that's going on. And so you get to the 12th house in a way, you know, it's very spiritually charged, and in Vedic astrology, it's the house of liberation, but it's also the house of loss. The Vedic astrology divides the houses and the signs and planets kind of into benefic and malefic, and easy and hard and really difficult ones. 12th house is a difficult house. There's karma that's being burned. It's where you learn deep lessons that you learn that lesson so well you never have to repeat it again. You've burned the karma, burnt seed. But, you know, we grow and we evolve spiritually through these hard lessons that we learn, and the karma that gets burnt there in the 12th house. And so there's this connection of losing superficial things, losing stuff from the ego perspective, but gaining deep lessons on the soul level.
Wow. Well, sounds good.
Yeah, and particularly since you have your north node there, you're moving towards your north node in Western astrology, so it's your destiny to explore that spiritual territory. You have a deep soul. You're someone who's meant to do soul work. There's going to be some loss there, and it's like pain is a given, but suffering isn't. You can learn to digest those losses and deal with them and understand they're there to grow, that you on a certain level are the wounded healer and can walk the walk and help others, and it expands your compassion, expands your knowledge, and it puts you on the path towards your unfolding and awakening, and then you can be service to others, and so this creates a lot of depth.
Wow, I feel that. I feel that, definitely. Wow, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the from the Vedic perspective, they have a very different perspective on the nodes. The north node is called Rahu. There's a snake demon who has his head cut off, and the head that floats throughout the body is Rahu. That's your north node. And south node is called Ketu, and that's the body without the head. And the symbolism with south node, Ketu, is that you have to lose your head, you have to lose your ego to get liberated, to get enlightened. And Rahu, the north node, is the head that can't ground, and it's very restless. So it gives you a seeker energy, and you're always searching, and so that just in your case, it would give you a lot of spiritual longings. And there's a famous story of this guru takes, the disciple asks the guru, when will I experience enlightenment? And he takes his head and sticks it under the water, for a couple minutes. The guy is freaking out. Oh, my God, I'm going to drown and die under here. And he pulls it out, and he said, when you have as much burning desire for a breath of air as you just had, when your spiritual hunger is that great, that's when you're going to experience it. And
wow.
So you have this deep drive within you. It's just natural. You couldn't be suppressed. It's just your life naturally focuses on those things. And it's a good replacement.
Yeah, that's me. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. Did you have any other questions or comments?
Oh, no, that's good. I'll just keep listening. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Good talking with you. Yeah, so eclipses are definitely intense, and this one, I think most of the world is officially happening on the 29th after midnight, but both the sun and moon are in Taurus, so like people have been saying, it's particularly if you have planets, Taurus, you're definitely feeling it a bit more. We also got Mercury in Taurus, which is good. It's going to slow things down a bit because there's a lot of surface anger, and be careful with people around you. The pressure cooker has been going on, and a lot of people are definitely ready to blow. And we got another caller here. And see there. Hi, you're on mic. Did you have a comment or question? Okay, let's see here.
Hello.
On mic. Yeah, hi there. How are you doing?
Good. I'm not experiencing it as badly as all these people are talking. I did have a bad week, mm-hmm. a big bad day last week, but other than that. But what degree will the eclipse be?
It's a good question. Let me pull up the chart here. And you were wanting to know the degree of which?
Of the eclipse tonight.
Yeah.
In Taurus.
Right. Well, I see it's the sun and the moon. Okay, let me... it's going to be different depending on where you are. So,
I'm in California.
Okay. I'm just bringing up chart for D.C. I'm doing this show from Washington, D.C.
But you're 3 hours ahead of me.
Yeah. I tried doing this earlier. It's part of what's going on with, I had a computer snafu, or just, you know, people are having, I had a flat tire earlier in the week. People are having a lot of breakdowns, and, it's 6 degrees of Taurus, where it's happening.
Okay,
and,
now I have Mars, 6 degrees of Pisces in the sixth house, and my rising sign is 5 degrees of Virgo. So how would that affect me, do you think?
Well, I could be squaring some of that stuff in Pisces, and
but it's Taurus,
not
and that's
so much the Virgo stuff.
But that's water and Earth, so shouldn't it be good?
Again, it depends what degree they are, and so what did you have in Pisces?
Pisces, I have the moon at 6 degrees. 6 degrees of Pisces.
Oh,
in the sixth house.
He has a moon at 6 degrees for sure. It's getting hit. Absolutely. It's going to be a trine.
Yeah. That's nice. And then my rising sign is 5 degrees Virgo.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's going to be less affected, but that's part of that makes sense. You're having this triangle on with your moon to this, and so it hasn't been as intense for you. That explains it. That's really good. And it's, so you're very intuitive with that Pisces moon and kind of a natural mystic.
So what's the best way to use the energy for me, do you think?
Yeah, meditating, absolutely.
Okay.
Pisces, you know, the veil is very thin, and this is a time when you're going to feel like the rumblings of your soul, because foundational impulses are coming forward. And, you know, like the next big project, the next big step in life, you're going to get, and now is the time with this cardinal cross, you know, Mars is there, it's telling you to take action. And
the ninth house, is that dreams?
Ninth house? Eighth
house
is more dreams.
Eighth?
Ninth
really?
House is more philosophy and business travel.
Okay.
And,
Okay. Gotcha.
Eighth house is all things unconscious mind, and it's ruled by Scorpio.
Okay.
But
ninth house is long-distance travel, philosophy, religion, spirituality.
Yeah, and traveling in the mind, exploring other cultures. You know, it's a very humanitarian, broad-minded. In the Vedic astrology, the ninth house is the house of Dharma, the house of spirituality, your true calling, and... You know, they say the dharma of water is to pour down a hill. The dharma of fire is to burn. So it's what your true nature is ruled by the ninth house. You know, real spirituality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cool. So yeah. I'm looking forward to... taking action on things that I've been wanting to do, but for whatever reason I put them off, or you know.
Exactly, and there's this pressure cooker that's why it's like break down or break through, and you know, for some people it's just been crazy making, but it's meant to get you to let go of things that aren't working for you and to take that step that you've been wanting to, you've been dreaming of, that is your true calling.
Right.
Yep. Excellent.
This is a great program.
Anything else?
I can't
talk with you. And let's see, there's somebody here. Hi there, how are you doing? How has it been for you? Can you hear me? I just unmiked someone there.
Are you there? Anyway, you might not be hearing me. So with the Cardinal Cross that we had, now it's starting to wane a little bit. We've had Pluto still at 13 and Uranus is at 13 degrees, but Mars is now at 11 and the Jupiter is at 14. So the Cardinal Cross is starting to shift. And so we're beginning to move out of some of the intensity that was there with that Cardinal Cross. But in this chart of tonight, the Pluto in Capricorn is making a trine to Mercury and this the Sun, the Sun and the Moon are trining Mercury, and so there's a lot of transformational energy that's there available with this eclipse that we're having. This eclipse is making aspects all over the place. So it's another reason it's powerful, and a lot of them are to Mars also. It's in conjunct with the Sun and the Moon and Mars, which the energies are not flowing there, and that someone talked about this buzzing energy, and it's a description of that, but... Oh, and it's sextiling to Jupiter. It's making connections all over the place. It's really lit up the point of 6 degrees of Taurus, where the Moon is. So there's part of this is calling us. You know, it's so good that the Jupiter is in this mix, because definitely Pluto can be like a very slow steamroller. Uranus can be like sudden changes. It's a roller coaster, and for some people it's a roller coaster up and some people down. It's different people have a different relationship to change, and so it's often nice to just reflect what is your personal relationship with change. If you were to draw a picture of change, would it be you know, a lightning bolt that had blood dripping off it, or would it be a very gentle spiral moving up? There's a lot of different images that change can take, but in general people are kind of resistant to change because it moves you into the unknown. So there's that leap of faith, and again, another reason that having this Jupiter in this mix of the Cardinal Cross, Jupiter is opposed to Pluto, and Mars is opposed to Uranus, and each one of those four planets has been squaring each other at 13 degrees, and so that's part of this intensity. You know, oppositions and squares are hard aspects, and luckily, Jupiter's there. Jupiter, the Sanskrit word for Jupiter is guru. Jupiter gives blessings. There can be very difficult aspects in the chart, and if a person has Jupiter aspecting the Moon, it's like the poison of that chart gets taken away. And so someone can go through a difficult situation, but it doesn't affect them very much. They keep their center, they keep their connection to their heart, to their soul. And, yeah, and it brings in inspiration. And so there's, and ultimately, all the different astrological symbols, all the planets, all the signs are archetypal symbols. Therefore, there's none that are better than the other. There's none that are bad. Any archetype will have a positive and negative expression. Neptune can be a drug addict. It can be the most enlightened, mystic, transcendent being. So all these energies can express positively and negatively, and it just depends how much consciousness just comes into the chart. And often we have to go through some difficult experiences for us to wake up and become aware. And that's why it's important to some kind of meditation practice, particularly stay grounded in these turbulent times, and where you can have a connection to your soul, to what are the lasting values in your life, the things that, you know, life is change, but we can be connected to the eternal, infinite part of ourselves, and that part doesn't get diminished by the rapids of life. And all forms of meditation will have some connection with breath. There's often some Buddhist traditions where there'll be no more instruction for meditation besides just paying attention to your breath. So meditation is pausing. We're rushing around. Our thoughts are rushing. We want to take a pause. Everything moves in the waves. Everything's energy, and all movements of energy is waves motion. So that means there's a crest and a trough. Things don't move in a straight line. They go up and down, let go like a wave. And so when you're meditating, and just like our brain waves, you know, when we're agitated, the wave is very quick and high. And as you calm that down, as you expand, and the mind takes the shape of whatever it's associating with. And that's why when you meditate, it's also nice to focus on your breath and get calm, and you want to grounding, going down and having a solid connection with your resource of earth. When people are traumatized, the most important thing is for them to be able to feel grounding, to feel this connection to the here and now, and to be able to ground. So if you're going to jump up, you first bend your knees and you go down before you go up. So that grounding is super important part of it. And then, since the mind takes the shape of the objects it's associated with, you want to meditate on that infinite source of being, the cosmic intelligence, divine, universal being. And so when you give your mind that infinite source to contemplate, then it naturally expands, and the mind is like a box. It will close or open, and it really only functions properly when it's open. And so you meditate in this present moment. It's Shiva, one of the first teachers, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, said live in the present moment. And particularly with the intensity of everything that's going on right now, when you can get connected to that present moment and feel your place between heaven and earth, make a strong connection to the earth, grow roots. And it's good, you know, some people have a hard time doing classical meditation for them, you know, just being in nature and gardening, taking a bath, getting a massage, getting into your body, dancing, all grounding activities are nurturing and are good. And then with the base, open up to let the mind expand and be in the flow. There's a universal flow that's there. So you let your mind, that's why nature has that harmony, because it's automatically involved with the universal flow that's there. And expanding, and as you expand your heart, you naturally want to do service. You want to help people, and you see the oneness of everybody and all things. So when someone else is hurting, it makes you hurt also. You want to naturally go out and help all the plants and animals and people out there that can use it. And in that way, you're serving the creator and the creation. And that's part of the flow also and the harmony that's there. And you realize your true nature in this kind of meditation and go back to source. And that's self-realization. And we have these things that are always changing. Our body, our mind, our emotions are always in flux. But there's a witnessing part. It's a part that sees all this. And when we can connect to that, then we're connected to the part of life that the riches and the real wealth that will sustain us through the whole life. And so I want to thank folks for joining in and for being here tonight. Go out and one of the main reasons people don't meditate in their own life is they feel that they have to take 20 minutes, a half hour, or otherwise they can't meditate. And just meditate for 30 seconds, meditate for a couple minutes. Do it regularly as part of your lifestyle. Put it in your routine. Have a time for when you brush your teeth. Put the time there in the morning when you sit to meditate. Just for, don't let the excuse that you don't have enough time, even if you only have a minute or two, you're just pausing, just taking some deep breaths and watching your breath. And as you put it regularly, it becomes part of your lifestyle and your routine. Then, and it's good to do it in the evening when you come home from work to de-stress, and our mind can become like a trash can. It needs to be emptied out. So do it twice a day. You really can get into this flow. It can be very short, and as you do it regularly, you'll naturally will start to expand it and do it for longer periods of time because you'll be really enjoying it, getting into it, and everything takes practice. So if you're practicing regularly, just start very small, and it's something that can be a really valuable resource, particularly intense times like now. So take care, and I'll be hoping you can join me next week and go out with a song by Choshna from InnerSong.com. Inner Song has great chanting and meditation music, and this is an example of it from New Zealand, an incredible artist named Choshna. So take care.
let